Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 13 through verse 16 this morning to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll read the odd number of verses, numbers 13 and 15. You'll join with me on verses 14 and 16, the evens this morning. If you found 1 Peter, if you please stand in honor of reading God's Word. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And let's pray this morning. Again, Heavenly Father, we come before you and bow and thank you so much for how you met our needs this week. But Lord, we're looking for you to meet with us today. Lord, I pray that we'd clear our minds and our thoughts to be exactly what you want us to be this morning. Listening ears, an open mind and an open heart this morning. I pray that you bless this special prepare our hearts for the message. In your name we pray. Amen.
I want to speak to you out of this passage today. If you got your Bible open there to 1 Peter chapter 1. And the main part of the text I'm going to be dealing with, although we'll look at the other verses there, is verse 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of common ground. Common ground. All right, let's pray together and ask the Lord's help as we get started into the message. Our Father, we bow before you and I ask you this morning to please help us in these moments. Now, Lord, I need you. I'm the speaker. But we all need you because we're all listening. As I speak, I'm listening. My heart needs help. My Christian life needs help. Lord, I need to be encouraged. I need to be taught. I need to be instructed. And Lord, not just from the words of a man. I need to have you deal with me. And every person in this room does to some degree. And so I pray that this will turn into a great big surgical room this morning. And the Spirit of God might have access through the Word of God to work on our hearts, to help us to be conformed to the image of God. Bless this service. Help us in Christ's name and for His sake, I pray, and amen. So you got two men. They meet on an airplane. They're flying to a distant city, and both of them to the same destination. They have never seen each other before. To their knowledge, they have never crossed paths with each other. But as it may be, they are settling into the same row of seats on the airplane. And they begin to howdy with each other a little bit. Are you going home? Are you going out? Are you coming home? Are you going out? No, I'm going out. I'm coming home. And, oh, where do you live? And, well, I live here, and so forth and so on. And this happened to me not so long ago. Well, it's been some time ago. I don't forget where I was going. But it was, I think it was last summer, because the guy was dressed in shorts. And I was had the window seat, a longer flight. I like the window seat so I can take a nap if I want to. And so I get by the window, and there was, you know, they already said it's a full flight. Every seat's taken, so, oh, boy, it's going to be crowded. Well, this guy gets in, and I acknowledge him. He acknowledges me. I think maybe I told you about it. We began to talk and come to find out that he was a member of First Baptist Church Hammond back in the 70s, back in the time when my wife was in school there for a couple of years. She was a boarding student, and he had grown up in the church in the years previous to my going off to Bible college. And so, boy, we started talking, and got to talking to each other, and that long flight turned into a nonstop dialogue of shared laughter and stories and just exchange of information. And, well, I remember that. Yeah, were you there when this happened? Yeah, well, I heard about this, and my wife was in school. You know, I might have even known your wife. And so back and forth it went. And for the duration of that whole flight, we were in dialogue with each other, having a good time, and it was all because we had common ground. There was something that was the basis for the foundation of this new relationship that I had with this man. I forget his name now. He's probably forgotten mine, okay? But there's something that was the basis for the foundation of this new relationship, and that basis was common ground. Common ground. Now, the same thing could happen to two ladies, but I don't have the foggiest idea what you would end up talking about, so I'm not even going to go there this morning, but I do know sometimes what men talk about, and so the common ground. Common ground. Now, God wants us to get on common ground with Him. And the ground that will be used, I'm talking about ground that will be used to establish a close and profitable relationship. You say, well, does God want that for me? Are you saved? Okay. If you're saved, God wants that for all of His children. One thing, you can mark it down and know for certain about God, He is impartial, He is unbiased. What He wants for one of His children, He wants for all of His kids. How can the holy, righteous, heavenly Father be any less loving and compassionate than an earthly father? You know, I want all my children to be blessed. I want all my children to have a great life. I want all my children to be close to me. And that's how God is. God wants all of His children to be on this common ground with Him. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, this subject of common ground. Now, I need a little bit of volume up here, Brother Greg. I'm straining because I can't hear myself out of the monetary, maybe just a little bit of increase there might help me. Now, let me give you just a little bit of the setting here in chapter 1 as we begin the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter begins with Peter writing about being saved. That's in the first two or three verses here in verses 2 and 3. Writes about being saved. And then he writes about the inheritance. You see that in verse number 4. The inheritance that is waiting for us because we are saved. And then beginning in about verse numbers 6 and 7 and 8 and so forth, he talks about the fact that while we're waiting to receive this inheritance, we're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through some testing down here on planet Earth in our Christian life. And these trials and these tests are for the purpose of purifying us and purifying our faith, watch me, so that when we see Jesus, we won't be ashamed. The Bible talks about some people being ashamed when they see Jesus. Ashamed. And so Peter's trying to help us understand that the trials and the tests that our faith, sometimes God takes us through in our faith, are designed to purify us, to make us, like I talked to Dave and Gina about on Wednesday night, to make us as gold. God's not making silver. He's not making brass. He's making gold. And only God can make gold out of clay. All right? And so there's trials that we go through. And we're going to see Jesus Christ, the precious Son of God, who died for us on Calvary's tree. And I, for one, friend, I don't know about you, but when I see Him, I don't want to be ashamed. And is coming. That's what he's talking about here. Now, look down at verse number 14. We read with Brother Bragg just a moment ago. We are exhorted to be obedient children. Look at that verse. We're going to come back to this in a minute. As obedient children, okay? Then he says in verse number 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So he says, you know, the one who called you, saved you. One who called you to salvation and saved you is holy. So be ye holy. And then in verse number 16, he quotes from the Old Testament. The Old Testament book of Leviticus. Look at verse 16. Because it is written. That means it's found in the Old Testament. When you read those words in the New Testament, because it is written, he's referring to some place in the Old Testament. The place he's referring to is Leviticus chapter 20. And Peter said, God who is holy has called you to be holy because it is written in the Old Testament, be ye holy, for I am holy. By the way, that kind of shoots in the foot this little promotion of this idea that the Old Testament is not relevant for today. Peter, watch me, folks. Peter said, listen, the very basis of our New Testament Christianity can be found in the Old Testament. For it is written, and it's all the way back in Leviticus chapter 20. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Got a question for us this morning. Are we on common ground with God? Are we on common ground with God? You know, if that man and I, we met on the air, most of the time, the people that I sit next to on the airplane really aren't interested in talking about God. They're not interested in talking about Christianity. I might try to even show a little bit of interest in what they do, but some people just shut. Some people you sit by, their lifestyles and how they live their life, they're so diametrically opposed to how I live my life that there's no common ground. You know what that flight turns into? Silence. You know, I'm reading. I always read my Bible on the plane. I get it out. I talk to people about my Bible. You know, but if there's no common ground and if I can't break the ice and find some common ground that this man would talk to me about, it turns into a very quiet flight, okay? A very quiet flight. And in some cases, it's made for a tense flight. An uneasy flight. Because there's no common ground. We're on the same plane. We're going to the same destination. We're sitting in the same row of seats. But we can't get off the ground in our relationship Because there's no common ground. Does that make sense? You can even try talking to some fellows about sports. About what they do for a living. Man, sometimes the minute you bring up Christ and preacher and all that, it's... that wall goes up. Yes, sir. And there's no common ground. Now, am I on common ground with God? Are you on common ground with God? Let me say three things about this and we'll be done. First of all, let me say common ground for God is holy ground. Common ground for God is holy ground. Look at verse number 15 and 16 again. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Friend, if God is anything, he is first of all holy. He is pure, he is clean, and he is righteous. The truth of the matter is, you say, well, now wait a minute, Brother Angel, I think God is love, and I think God is power. That's right, God is all of those things, but watch me, his holiness dictates to all his other characteristics. God is love, but his love is guarded by his holiness. God is merciful, but his mercy is guarded by his holiness. God is powerful, but his power is guarded by his holiness. God is just, but his justice is guarded by his holiness. If God is anything, he is first and foremost of all holy. You say, how do you know that? You're just making that up. Let's see. There was a prophet in the book. In fact, it's the book that has his name, Isaiah. And in chapter 6, King Uzziah, he writes about the year that King Uzziah died. And Isaiah said that the year King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up on the throne. And when he saw the Lord in this vision on the throne, he said there were seraphims, these six winged creatures, and they were flying around the throne room of God, saying, love, love, love. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Power, power, power. No. Holy, holy, holy. And then in the book of Revelation, John is on the Isle of Patmos, John the Apostle. And in chapter 4, God opens that throne room again. And he lets John look in there. And he saw those six winged creatures flying around the throne of God. And guess what they were saying? Holy. 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 Approximately 850 years between Isaiah and what he saw, and the Apostle John and what he saw, and they were saying the same thing. Holy, holy. And you know what I believe, friend? I believe for all of those 850 years, they've been saying the same thing. You say, well, what makes you think that? Because in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, it says, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy. If God is anything, he's holy. His holiness permeates everything else about him. Holy, holy, holy. Common ground for God is holy ground because it's what he is. You see in verse number 15, look at it. But as he which hath called you, look at that little two-letter word. We pass by these little words. As he which hath called you, talk to me, what is it? Is holy. You know what we call this? We call this intrinsic holiness. That's a big word, intrinsic. Not used much in our English vocabulary in this day and age. But once in a while it is when you go to the jewelry store. And that ring has intrinsic value because it is gold. Intrinsic means belonging to something by its very nature. God didn't go out and acquire holiness. God didn't become holy. He is holy. You see what I'm saying? It's called intrinsic holiness. It's God's person. It's what makes Him different from you and me. Okay? He is holy. It is His nature. So, if you and I are going to get on common ground with God, we're going to have to get on holy ground. Hello? If I am not holy, if you are not holy, then we have no common ground with God. And if I have no common ground, my relationship is going to be tense and uneasy and unproductive. Like sitting in an airplane seat beside somebody with whom you have no common ground, and that flight just is so long and uneasy and in some ways tense and unproductive as far as a relationship goes because there's no common ground. You with me? My relationship with Him? You say, you mean I won't be saved? I just say it has nothing to do with salvation. It has everything to do with the quality of our relationship with Him after we get saved. If I'm not on holy ground, that's where God is. And so I am stifled, I am tense, I am immature, I am uneasy in my relationship with God because I have no common ground. You fellas that work in an office type situation, even other type situations, you know, and you get put on projects at work, okay? The superior, the boss, he said, you know, I got this project, fella. I got a team of you men. He says, okay, I need you and you and you to work together on this project. So it's just a couple of guys, and one of you men is chosen with another guy, and you don't know this. Maybe they flew him in from one of the other locations somewhere, one of the other office places, and they flew him in, and for the next 6 to 8 months, you guys are going to work in the same cubicle together on this project. You're going to do the same. You're going to start researching on this specific project. It's going to take you 6 to 8 months to complete it. And so, man, you get in this cubicle. You're with this guy. You've never met him before. You never crossed paths with him. What do? You start searching for some kind of common ground. Because you want this relationship that's going to last 6 to 8 months to be at ease. To some degree, are you with me? Now, you can sometimes find common ground with lost guys in a hobby or an interest. But, you know, here you are, you're working with this guy, and so you're starting to ask questions because, watch me, if you can find some common ground with this partner of yours, this work fellow, co-laborer, if you can find some common ground with him, it puts the relationship at ease, it allows you to work freely, it increases your productivity. Am I right? Because there's common ground. Common ground with God is holy ground. That's why some of God's people aren't at ease in their relationship with God. It's holy ground. Common ground for God is holy ground because it's who He is. Number two, God cannot change. God can't change. We're told that over and over again through the Scriptures. In verse 15, as He which hath called you is holy. Now watch it. Look up here. This is not hard to follow, but you're going to have to listen on purpose. Just watch me. I said, God cannot change. This is written. Do you have a date at the top of your Bible? I have a date. Mine says A.D. 60. Anybody got that about A.D. 60 in their Bible? Okay, I see a few. Okay, great. I don't know if I was giving away $1,000 if I could get some of you to respond. Honestly, that's all right. What you are. Okay. So this is written in 60 A.D. Verse number 16. Because it is written, that's Leviticus 20. You got a Bible? Okay. You know, for sake of time, let me just tell you what's written at the top of my Bible in Leviticus 20. 1490 B.C. Is that what you got? 1490 B.C. So Peter says that in 60 A.D., present tense, right now, when the Holy Ghost is putting these words through Peter's pen, the Holy Spirit says, Peter, you write right now that as he which hath called you is holy. In 60 A.D., he is holy. But back here, when Moses wrote it in 1490 B.C., it said he's holy. So you tell me, between 1490 B.C. and 60 A.D., had much changed with God? God had not budged one smidgen. I like that word, smidgen. God had not budged one smidgen from His holy ground. Not one. God didn't change His ground for anybody during that period of 1,550 years. From 1490 B.C. to 60 A.D. is 1,490 years. And God is just as holy in 60 A.D. as He was in 1490 B.C. And He will be as holy. On April the 6th, 2014, He is still holy as He was in A.D. 60, as He was in 1490 B.C. And now we're talking about a time period of 3,504 years from here to April 6, 2014, and God hasn't changed. So that means if common ground for God was holy ground back here, I was hoping I could do this without falling. Then common ground for God today is holy ground. Well, number three, we must get on holy ground to be on common ground with God. What are you going to do, folks? Wait till God changes? Kind of a track record here. A little bit of a track record. 3,500 years. And you know and I know, following all the way back to eternity past. Following all the way ahead through eternity future. He's not changing. So if I'm going to be on common ground with my Heavenly Father, the one who sent His Son to die for me so that I could be saved, I'm going to have to find what God, where God, and God is on holy ground in order to grow in our relationship with Him, in order to be at ease, in order to be at productive together as co-laborers. I'm going to have to get on holy ground. I'm going to have to be holy. This is what the whole process of sanctification is all about. In fact, the entire text of Leviticus 27 says this, sanctify yourselves and be ye holy. Sanctify and be ye holy. Sanctification is all about the Spirit of God making us holy. Watch it, folks. Well, why does He want to make me holy? So we can be on common ground with God. You reckon that would be important? I will tell you it's important. It's vitally important. Want to have a good marriage? Want to see your children do well? It's important to be on holy ground. And that's what the Spirit of God is trying to do. in this time in our lives. He's trying to make us more and more holy. Make us holy because that's common ground with God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Look at verse 14 here. I said I was going to come back to this. Look at the very first three words of verse 14. As obedient children. As, you know, children are like their parents. I'm sorry, Luke. I'm sorry, man. But I've had some of you tell me, you know, I was watching Luke the other day, and he reminds me of you a little bit. And some of you, when my dad has been here, had been here through the years, some of you would say, Pastor, you did something last Sunday that reminded me of your dad. Are we all shocked? Are we shocked that these Johnson boys remind us of Mike? These Neimeyer boys remind us of Dave, and the Gardner boys remind us of their dad. We shocked? Wow. Huh? No, we're not shocked. Because that is the, watch it, that is the power of birth. That's the power of the physical birth. He was born to me, my wife. Physically born to me. The power of that birth makes him like me. Right? Let me ask you a question. Is the second birth, the spiritual birth, any less powerful than the first birth? Okay, you're shaking your heads no. Some of you are looking at me. He's asking me a question. But we can't talk in church. Where'd you get that? Right? So is the second birth, is the spiritual birth, more powerful than the physical birth? And if birth makes us like our then why aren't we on holy ground? Why do some of us have no common ground with God? Short circuit somewhere, people. Short circuit somewhere. The power of the physical birth could not keep him. The power of the physical birth. He could not stop the process of becoming like me because that's the power of that physical birth. And you and I shut down the power of the second birth? At the second birth, God becomes our Heavenly Father. Children become like their parents. And I'll say it again. Our Heavenly Father is holy, holy, holy. So if I become like Him, what am I going to become? Holy, holy. Spurgeon said this, quote, the essence of religion consists in the imitation of Him whom we worship. It is the Holy Spirit who works in us, transforming us into an obedient child. One who becomes to some degree like our Heavenly Father, holy. Which then puts us on common ground with God. And common ground with God is holy ground. And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do to unholy Terry Angel and unholy you. Now that we've been saved, He's trying to fashion us to holiness, to put us on common ground with our Heavenly Father. Leviticus 19:2. God told Moses, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You know what I think is one of the key words in that verse? We blow by these words. that little word, that little three-letter word, A L L. He didn't say, now Moses, you got this group of your congregation, and this is how God wants them to live. And then you got this group in your congregation, this is how God wants them to live. And then you got a different group in this of your congregation, put it this way. And then this group over here, and those up in the balcony in the congregation in the center. He says, you get up in front of all the congregation, tell them all, hey folks, God's holy, we need to be holy. That stretches from here to here, here to up there, everywhere. All of us. It's all of us. Are you saved? Is God your Heavenly Father? Are you on common ground with your Father? Is your work holy? Is your talk holy? Is your walk holy? Is your music holy? Is your entertainment holy? Is it holy? Brother Bill Graham taught the class yesterday. The sermon was already printed, except for this little part right here, which is what I'm about to tell you. When Brother Graham was a police officer, he was off duty and traveling somewhere that required him to travel through the night. At 2 o'clock in the morning, his car broke down. He called 911 and he said to the dispatcher, I am a police officer of the Baton Rouge Police Department. I'm on the side of the road. My car is broken down. Can you help me? They sent two, not one, two police cars with two men, two officers, who came to where Brother Graham was. They got out, they looked around, and they determined from all that they could see that it was the water pump on his car that had malfunctioned, had gone bad. They put Bill in the squad car. They went into town at 2:30 in the morning. They woke up the automobile parts owner. They said, we have a fellow police officer out here whose car is broken down and he needs a water pump. He got out of bed, went to his store at 2:30 in the morning, got a water pump, gave it to Brother Graham, no charge. They put Brother Graham in the car, drove him to a mechanic's house, woke the mechanic up at 2:45 in the morning. We have a fellow police officer, his car's broken down, needs a water pump. So-and-so gave us the water pump. Can you put it in? We need you to help him. Guess what he did? Put the water pump in. In charge of the dime. Those policemen gave him badges and other memorabilia from the police department. They gave him their cards and said, if you're ever anywhere close to us again and have trouble, you call us. How'd he do that? I think it's called common ground. You reckon you might need God at 2 o'clock in the morning? I'll give a rip about all this Christianity stuff. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live my life like I want to. Reckon you'll ever need God at 4 o'clock in the morning? God, can you help me? I'd love to, but we're not on any kind of common ground. You say, oh, if you've got the guts, come back next Sunday morning. It's like, oh man, I'm going to be out of town. He's thinking I'm gutless. No, I don't. It's our music, it's our dress, it's our walk, it's our talk, it's our entertainment, that's in this passage. And God said, you're going to get on common ground with me. You're going to have to get on holy ground. Because that's not where I am. That's what I am. Amen? Are you on holy ground? Are you on common ground with God? I need Him. Might be a good thing to get on common ground with God. Hey, this man, help him. Help him. You help him. You help her. Call common ground. God, help me. I'm not preaching at you this morning. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching for us. I need Him. And if I'm going to have all that He has to offer me, I'm going to have to get on common ground with Him. Or it's going to be a tense ride. It's going to be uneasy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us this morning. Speak to our hearts. Lord, help me. God, I want to be on common ground with you. I need you, God, so bad. Help me. I pray for these wonderful folks this morning. Oh, God, speak to their hearts. Help us, Lord. Help us, I pray, to long for that common ground with you, to let your Spirit work in us to bring us to that common ground. God, help us, please. Speak to us this morning for the purpose of making us more like you.